Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. I hope it is all a good morning for you. I think we're a little more settled than we were last Saturday morning after the quake. This is kind of a nondescript day so far, don't you think? Well, 20 ways people sabotage their healing. I have to do this show because you keep coming to me, and overwhelmingly, consistently, I'm posed with that issue. Always, it's a matter of how do I get you on track? You'll do what you need to do. You'll go through the actions. Your healing has been a matter of going through the motions, making the efforts. But really where you spend more time than you think you're going to spend is on getting the right perspective on what your actions mean, your interpretation of what you do day to day. In the name of your health, is really in the end what makes the difference. And what you find more often than not, too often people are sabotaging themselves because their perception of the process isn't reality. The outside track, what the public understands in a healing, is generally not the way you heal. Part of that's human nature, to live in misdirection. And misdirection, I mean what? I mean you think the energy and direction you're investing your time, money, and energy are appropriate, and in reality, you're on a wild goose chase. You can apply that to lots of things in your life. Sort of what we hope we call wisdom over the decades is really doing less of that, investing with clear perception. And you look at youth sometimes, young people, as having great energy, enormous force, even enormous discipline, but it's all going in the wrong direction. The tendency to do that in a healing is phenomenal. The amount of misdirection that you suffer from is what the healing is. Now, this is a second base phenomenon. I call it second base because you don't really deal with this until you get going. Rather, that's where I want to put the focus of the show today. Yeah. Your friends don't want to participate in their healing because Kaiser's got it covered. Well, that's not what this show is today. This show is to talk to people who have already invested time and money and energy, and it's not news to them that cutting out organs isn't the best way to go. That's not really where this show is going today. This show is about people who already shop at Whole Foods, who've bought an herb or two in their life, who are looking for a non-pharmaceutical solution to their problems, who are kind of veterans, who've spent 2 to 5 to 10 years, who this isn't new to. That's who I want to talk to. Because you guys need the real upgrade. And what you do functionally is you sabotage yourself because you think you're understanding a process that is, it's a life's work to understand. A healing is a life's journey. You come here to heal. But we don't think of it that way. We should. We think of healing as what you do when you're sick, emotionally or physically, and then you're not anymore. You were, now you're not. You weren't, now you are. You want to not be. It's not reality. That's the whole misdirection in the first place. You can't even say healing because it implies that there's something wrong. I'm healing. Oh, where you been, Joe? Oh, I've been healing. I've been spiritually developing. We don't use this jargon. It doesn't make sense. not where it counts at the office, not socially. We don't think that way. Oh, you're healing. You must have been sick. No, I wasn't sick, but you see, life is healing. It doesn't work. You can't talk that way. But that's exactly the way you have to see life unfold from the success that you're about to have, off the investment you're about to profit from, all the way to the other extreme where you have a life-threatening disease. Now, outside of that perspective, you sabotage yourself. If I call this show today, which I am, the top 20 ways people sabotage their healing, and I give you 19 ways, it's going to bother some of you. In fact, if I don't even count the number of ways, but I call it the top 20 ways people sabotage their healing, no matter what I say, and I know this, no matter what I say in this show today, somebody's going to say, well, you didn't give us 20 ways. You only gave us 18. What are the other two? It's going to bother people that I put a number on the title of the show, and yet I didn't list those numbers on the show. You see this all the time. All the time. Amidst all the wisdom, all the insight, all the deep perception, all the experience transmitted in a medium, whether it be radio or literature, there's always what we call the bean counters. People who count beans. They're always behind a desk with a magnifying glass, making sure you cross your T's and dot your I's. They never make a lot of money. The society kind of hints at their bureaucratic tendencies is next to useless. But nonetheless, they dictate your day. And when you think like a bean counter, and we're all taught in school to be bean counters, there's always that teacher we don't like. That's a bean counter, meaning they overlook the essence of a work in the name of crossing your T's and dotting your I's. And then, of course, in that truly democratic fashion, we have to give them their merit and their place, too, in life. Because without the bean counters, well, then maniacs would run the world. And to make matters more complicated, to an extent, that's true. You need bean counters. You need bean counters in their place, in their right place. In a healing, it's okay to count beans. It's okay to be cerebral. It's okay to say, doctor, what is the cause of my problem, and expect a one-sentence answer. It's okay to say, doctor, why do I have that symptom today and I didn't have it yesterday? And I don't want it tomorrow, but I thought I wasn't going to get it tomorrow, but I got it tomorrow, and now I'm looking back at it. I never know when it's going to come back or go away. Why is that? It's okay to be cerebral. It's okay. But you see, the word bean counter, what bean counter means, bean counter is a word that derives out of corporate America years ago as corporate entrepreneurial thought emerged in the 20th century in the United States. And there was always somebody there counting beans, stopping the expression of creative growth. Bean counters do not heal. They don't. They get a first base healing. Bean counters apply an herb to a symptom, and they don't go any further. That's it. I would be counting beans gladly, gladly, if I could just make nutritional recommendations and watch people heal. I never saw it happen, and I never will. And I'm not knocking it to first base. But bean counters do not go beyond first base. Not in the corporation. You know what bean counters are? Overly cerebral people. People who employ objective logical thought, pure and nothing more, in the most unknown to them subjective way, but nonetheless, who apply what they call the rational mind to a healing, never heal. Nor do they ever succeed in the corporate world. The king of the bean counters always reaches his level of incompetence early on in his career. They're usually pawns of dark forces. And I don't mean that. Well, I kind of do mean that. What I mean is, a bean counter a bureaucrat, a technocrat that has too much power will kill a creative expansion. And a creative expansion is what we're talking about when we say heal. Check my last show on the pineal gland. You what? You are not going to expand creatively to the point where you can start to move physical parts of your brain along with all the physiological manifestations. We just saw one here last week. Someone shifted the upper cervical spine to the point where the inside of the brain wobbled. What does that mean to a bean counter? Very little. But if you've got anything even approaching an inside track, you're going to understand that there are dimensions that move healings that Cialé and Reich and Paracos and many, many others tried to define, to describe, to bring to science. And sometimes they're not even measurable. They're to be experienced. They're experiential. And the bean counter is always looking for measurements, precise delineations that you can measure every 2 minutes, like watching the stock market. Now, if you're that way, you are being overly analytical. It is the number one way you will sabotage your healing. You're being anal. You're being misdirected. You're using your education. Even if you are exquisitely credentialed, you're using your high education as nothing more than a bean counter. You see yourself as a rational man. You know, lots of people come to these things. There's enough pure bean counter material in the healing arts. There's enough hard literature, we'll call it, idiot-proof literature, to suggest that something like turmeric, with the active component curcumin, functions as an anti-inflammatory. There's enough information, hard, double-blind placebo. No one can argue with it. Even a bean counter won't argue with the fact that different types of mushrooms stimulate the immune system. And lots of those people get involved in the healing arts. If you're one of them, open up your other eye. Or you're going to spin on second base. At least you're in the game. All the people in Whole Foods throughout the United States every single day are in the game. I will guarantee you that less than 10% of them have the perspective necessary to take themselves to a healing. That is a very consistent statement I'm making. A first base approach accommodates an overly analytic mind. If someone has enough honesty within themselves, they're going to see that an herb is worth an inquiry. They're going to consider, and they may get a first base response. But first base doesn't cut it. First base is not the home run. The size of your soul is asking for the home run. It's bases loaded, two outs, three balls, two strikes. There's one more pitch to determine whether or not in the last inning of the game you're going to hit it out of the park. That is what your soul is asking for. As always, get to the website. If you're new to the show, welcome. Dr. Vincent Medici, get to the website, straighttalk.cc. Not .com.cc, two T's. Look at it. Oh, my lovely tech person. I don't think she numbered the pictures today. We have had a tech flaw. I hope she's been listening. Here, let's put a little spin on this. If your pictures are not numbered, I apologize. Ah, she did. My mistake. I made the tech flaw. Take it back. Your pictures are numbered. Get to picture number 11. Look at picture number 11. The pineal gland. Take a look at it. Take a look at that picture. The hypothalamus, where you see 45. Now just go left of that number, 45, straight backwards, and you're going to see that little thing that sticks out like the head of a pea. That's the pineal. You're not going to get there counting beans. So what is this about the analytic mind? The analytic mind dictates a healing for people. And that creates all sorts of problems. The first thing the analytic mind does is it says, I have the symptom. What herb can you fix for the symptom? So you sabotage yourself by saying, I have this concern and this concern and this concern and this concern and this concern. It happens all the time. 25% of the consults that I do are people from outside of Los Angeles. It is unbelievable. People, 50, 60, 70, sick, and in trouble. And they've got 10 problems, all of which have one cause. And they've spent the last 10 to 15 years being told that each problem has different causes. Now, you can agree with this cerebrally, making it work, making it function. When one day you have toe pain, the next day you have headaches, the next day your retina is detached, the next day you have heart palpitations. Understanding that it's one big link, when each of those things is going off at no identifiable sequence or format, and yet really trusting it comes from one place, is a functional understanding of the fact that there's not a bunch of symptoms. There's fundamental problems that create all those symptoms. If you're precipitating, meaning creating granules of all sorts of chemicals, those granules can deposit in the eye, in the knees, in the heart. They can create cancer. They can do all sorts of things, and you may have the beginnings of 10 different things, all of which have one link. So this mechanistic, linear, pseudo-intelligent, dramatically overly analytical way to approach health that derives itself from a bean counters mentality, which our educational systems support, gets you nowhere because you can't apply it to fundamental concepts. Doctor, I want to lose weight. Tell me what herb to take to lose weight. And that person's tried 20 herbs and they still can't lose weight. Now they're at the other extreme. I can't lose weight. So now they have the negative imprint. Add that to your list. How negatively imprinted are you? You're negatively imprinted, or you're looking for one herb to cure the problem. If you're negatively imprinted because you were looking for one cure solutions, one-stop solutions to lose weight, and now you're not even going to attempt to do that because you're negatively imprinted, and yet you're desperate because you've gained weight. You can't lose weight. Maybe your job and life and mental image depend on your weight, and now you want to lose weight, and now you're going to give it one last chance. Now you've almost put the nail in your own coffin because now you're negatively imprinted. This is all a lot of garbage. So you see, you've graduated from the delusion of the herb can fix the problem to the fact that most likely there's nothing that can fix the problem. You're delirious on both ends. So you sabotage yourself because you're too cerebral. You sabotage yourself because you're a bean counter. You sabotage yourself because you've been burned. You've been burned in this great service we call holistic medicine, and you're grossly negatively imprinted. You sabotage yourself because you don't understand. You haven't wrapped your head around the fact that you're not supposed to be looking at your symptom. I just saw it today. Doctor, my lab reports are worse. Lady, take your lab reports and burn them. Doctor, I haven't had this problem, and now this problem's worse. I must be getting worse. Well, this and this and this and this are better, and that problem's worse. Take your concern about your problem. Take your concern, your anxiety about your symptom, and forget about it. Stuff it. Lose it. Don't look at it. Don't listen to it. Don't focus on it. Delusion number four, then. People are always looking to fix the symptom. Or people don't have the time. Now, you know, rationally speaking, everybody knows that they have to admit that they have the time, but you don't have the time. And we're all geniuses, absolute geniuses, at deciding we don't have the time. Because to heal, you have to spend time, money, and energy. And we'll get to money in a minute. But we don't have the time. You don't. Because you've got your relationships, because you've got your children. Because, hey, you know what? Really. You can talk to me about time, but don't talk to me about time when it interferes with work. And don't talk to me about time to heal when it interferes with schooling. And don't talk to me about time when it interferes with basic primal instincts, like my relationship, my love life, so on and so forth. Talk to me about time when everything I do from 9 to 5 and from 5 to 11 is done, then I have the time. And that's about 15 minutes a day. Until, of course, you can't stand up, and then your life's fallen apart, and then you're very obviously brought to the brink. Because you do not have the time. I had it this week. Woman's been sick. She's been sick, sick, sick. Sick to where she can't stand up. Sick to where the room spins so fast. She lies on the floor vomiting for 2 days at a time with headaches. And all that goes away. In 6 weeks, it goes away. Must have been a miracle. She just did the right prayer. Had nothing to do with all the hard work and all the right direction and all the right living. Because in her mind now, she's finally come to the conclusion she doesn't have the time to get to the deep level, to get to the cause. Because she got lucky enough to fix the symptom, she's done. And she's convinced she doesn't have the time. Is this you? Have you ever considered you don't have the time? You really want to kick back if you can. I understand. You work a 50-hour week. You get up at 5. I mean, what do you say to people that get up at 5, that get to work by 8, that work from 8 or 9 to 6, that get home by 7, that just have to feed themselves, and by that time it's done? And on the weekends, there's 2 days. And by the time you get the chores done on Saturday, it's Sunday. So you get a day of rest or you'll collapse, and now you're back to it. We got to come to terms with something. We got to come to terms with, you can handle that till you're about 60. And then if somehow you don't find the time, if you don't orchestrate, navigate, create the time, then your dreams don't come true. If you're working that way to make your dream come true, perhaps you have a consideration. If you're working intermittently at some phase in your life, but you see, I'm not talking to you if that's you. I'm talking to people who have lived in that rut their whole life. And there's a lot of people like that. And they're certain they don't have the time. Everybody has a choice, and everybody should make their own choice. And that's a great thing. I think everybody deserves a conscious choice, a conscious choice. I'll bet you this. I'll bet you on your deathbed, and that day will most certainly come, one regret you will have is that you did not make the time to do the things that would have advanced you, that would have ensured you your dream. I can guarantee you that if you've been spinning, that you've been chronically ill, if you truly feel, even without a diagnosis, a depletion in your system that's getting in the way of your creative force, I will guarantee you, you will regret. You will regret. People die regretting things. They do. They overlook them. They forgive themselves. But there's no two ways about it. It's not always about, well, it all worked out in the end, and if I had to abuse myself the second time around, I'd abuse myself anyway. No, it doesn't work that way. The way it works is you consider where you've abused yourself, where you've been indiscreet, where you've made mistakes, and then you forgive yourself, as you should. If you get it. But nonetheless, there's nothing wrong with avoiding that process. Avoid it and consider that this thing about you do not have the time to get out of the rut that you spin in, that there's something smarter than you There is something smarter than you. Okay, I'm going to make you do this. Go back to picture number 11. You just looked at it. What a horrible occult figure there, that Eye of Ra. Why don't we learn this in college? Where are the classes to teach us that people from the beginning of time have been trying to tell us to look inward so that we can connect to an intelligence that we can develop like a muscle within? A muscle within the hypothalamic pituitary pineal axis. A muscle within to direct us into a much better perception of how to guide yourself. That is what that occult picture of in some Egyptian tomb actually means. It's Horus or the Eye of Ra. It's not the devil. It is nothing occult. It is a message from ancient people to look inside. And that's what everyone's been doing. I don't care if you're an Aborigine, a Watusi, a Maasai, a Pygmy, an Eskimo, a Teuton, a Celt, a Saxon, a Roman, a Greek, an Aztecian, a Mayan, an Incan, or a Penguin. It doesn't matter. The whole specter of human life, of evolution, whether it's 7,000 years or 100 trillion years, it doesn't matter, has asked us to look inside the organism. And the more sophisticated the organism, the more deeply we are obliged by God to plunge into the internal world and take a look. So you won't be misdirected. So you won't say, well, I have had this debilitating lupus. I have had 3 bouts of cancer. I have had IBS so bad I've got holes in my intestines and they're going to take them out. I do have a rheumatoid arthritis. I get migraines every single day. All my teeth are falling out. The tinnitus is so bad I can't hear myself talk anymore. So when we're caught in these issues, we can go within for guidance. Now, you know who doesn't do that too well? Bean counters. Do you get my point here? The top 20 ways people sabotage their healing. I am not going to get to 20 today. Maybe I'll get to 2. And that'll be the point. Actually, I'm up to 5. You do not have time. Don't you feel bad about saying that now? If you feel really bad, then this show has succeeded. How about this one? We're objective. I'm a bean counter. I've got a PhD in chemistry. I'm rational. I'm objective. I'm intelligent. I can't be scammed. And I have a lab test. In fact, I have a lab test from 50 different companies. In fact, I'm so organized that all my lab tests are cleanly in files. I've got a high-speed internet. I've got an even higher-speed Wi-Fi connection on a perfectly designed computer. And at any given moment, I will spit out those numbers forward, backwards, left, and sideways because I am an objective, rational, credentialed person that you cannot slip anything by. And on the basis of these lab tests, a problem is identified. And now that that problem has been remedied, there is no longer a problem. Boy, do I have a bridge to sell you. Boy, are you a bean counter. Boy, are you misdirected. You're out of your mind, Jack. Truly, you are being sacrificed, you and your family, to the devil, as far as I'm concerned. Because if you think your lab tests mean anything, think again. Truly. Now, let me qualify that statement. But as always, when I make a extreme statement like that, I want to get some perspective here. Take a look at this book. Picture number 1. If you're new to the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health, 10 to 11 every Saturday morning, KBRT, 740 a.m. Get to the website, straighttalk.cc. Go to the shows, look at the pictures. Doesn't cost you a dime to look at all the pictures. It does cost you a dime, and I mean a dime. It costs you pennies to buy the archives. $24.95 for 150 shows. That's not a lot of change. But you should misdirect yourself, because you can get a lot of free stuff on YouTube. There's a lot of free stuff. This guy charges. Boy, it should be free. This is America. Things are free. 2 cents a show? Hey, come on, man. I can get a lot of stuff. I get stuff tweeted to me for free. Hey, $24.95, that's a lot of money. 30 cents a show? That's a lot of dough, Jack. Don't you know what I could do with that 30 cents? Man, it amazes me. You amaze me. Not you, you. I'm talking to you, not you. If you're driving, don't get on the website. I don't want you to crash on my account. If you're a bean counter, I forgive you, even though I shouldn't. You caused the world pain, but you're innocent. You've been deceived. They've implanted little microbes in your brain, and they make you count beans instead of look for creative flickers from the cosmos. Wait a second. This show is getting too esoteric. This is a show about science. Let me introduce you to Roger Williams, PhD, biochemistry, University of Texas. He wrote a book, Biochemical Individuality. Kind of the subtext to the book is burn your lab tests. Check out the book. The guy next to him, Linus Pauling. Look at him. Absolutely magnificent. Nobel Prize, second Nobel Prize. A scientist that gets the Nobel Prize for what? Science, almost cracks the DNA code, and then gets the Nobel Prize for peace. This was a gift. Maybe he was a Martian. He was a gift. So was Tesla. I didn't put a picture of him here today. But look at this little quote here. Picture number three. Go to picture number three. Look at this quote. Linus Pauling. Now he's older. If you're driving, don't look at the picture, please. If you're home listening on the radio, please get a computer. And if you're lost, this website is so easy to navigate. Just picture number three, click it. There you go. Linus Pauling with a beret. Didn't you always like those teachers in berets in college? I used to look for those guys. If you taught a class with a beret, I was going to go into that class. Those guys were always the coolest guys. I had some guys with berets, Jesuits. Father Gleason changed my life at Fordham years ago. Too many years ago to think about. Pauling's got a beret. 1901. 1994, died at 93, American chemist, biochemist, peace activist, author, educator, blah, blah, blah. Go to the bottom. His promotion of orthomolecular medicine, mega vitamin therapy, dietary supplements, and vitamin C has been criticized. Who do you think criticized him? I'll give you one guess. A, the bean counters. B, his wife. C, his mentors. Or D, the Orthomolecular Society, the bean counters, right? There's always bean counters. It doesn't matter how big you get. It doesn't matter how many Nobel Prizes you accumulate. They crucified Christ, didn't they? Was Jesus a bean counter? Was Jesus a small figure guy? Did he go to the Harvard School of Accounting and then just decide to be Jesus or the equivalent way back then? Is that the way it was? He was a guy with a fine eye for detail that basically made sure you crossed your T's and dotted your I's. And then he had kind of like this split personality where he was Jesus raising the dead and performing miracles. I don't think he was a bean counter. I think he might have worn a beret. Only his beret was lit up by something so powerful that he would have just dissolved that beret into the ethers. Look at what they did to him. So really ask yourself why you're a bean counter. Ask yourself why you drink the Kool-Aid all the time, because you don't see it. You don't see that you're counting beans. That's the problem. What you're looking for your doctor is a friend. A doctor's not a friend. The doctor's not your friend. A doctor is someone that promotes a healing. You want a friend. Or perhaps you're masochistic and you don't really like your doctor, but you're convinced that you should go to your doctor anyway. Because if you don't like somebody and they don't like you, because you don't like them, because they don't like you, they must have something to offer you. Because that's the way it was with your father. You didn't like him, he didn't like you, but he was your father, and father knows best. Just see the show. You know, father knows best. Foresight, that handsome guy that looked really handsome, even when he was 80? Or is it John Forsythe, right? Remember that guy? Or William or something? Great set of white hair. You don't like your doctor, and your doctor doesn't like you, but go to him anyway. Or you have to like your doctor. You don't, I don't know what that guy's talking about. He may be nuts, but I like him because he likes me, because he said he liked my red bag. Delusion, delusion, delusion. Doctors are not your friends. Maybe they can be your friends after you heal. But while you're healing, they're not your friends. You know what they are? Someone that you get to bounce off all your illness with. They're receptor sites. They're your mirror. They become whatever you're supposed to see in the moment. That's what a doctor is. And if the doctor doesn't understand that and you don't understand that, then you're going to pay an enormous price. All of you do. Lots of you do. Why do you bring doctors gifts? Oh, I just want to thank my doctor. No, you don't. See, add that to your list of delusions. The top 20 ways people sabotage their healing. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health. Back to the show. Okay. You give your doctor a gift. Why are you giving a doctor a gift? Are you saying thank you for what's been done, or are you saying thank you for what you're going to do, that you don't know what you're going to do, but I have a version of what I want you to do, so take this gift and then fall into my trap. Doctor, doctor, I own this gorgeous mansion up in the mountains of the Himalayas. Come and stay there, doctor. Doctor, doctor, come to my dinner. Doctor, I want to buy you a car. It's a donation. Don't worry. Doctor, I'm going to make a film about you. Doctor, I'm going to give you and your family all these. I will bestow upon you the kingdom of whatever. Bribery. Don't bribe your doctor. Here's another one. Multiple doctors are best. I've come here to you, doctor, today. I want to see what you think because I have another guy down the road that thinks that, and he has another guy down the road that thinks the other thing. I have 20 doctors, 40 doctors. I have an unlimited amount of money, so I have 60 doctors. And all these doctors, you know what they do? They get together every day and they talk about me. Ah, you laugh, right? But you're doing it. You feel alone because it's just you and your doctor. The doctor that doesn't like you that you don't like, or that likes you and that you like. Either way, you need more action. The movie's not big enough. The script isn't complicated enough. So bring in another 10 doctors because you can afford to. And then find out they all disagree with each other. They're going to work this out. They're definitely going to work this out. They've got a problem they can't really see what the answer is, and if they just sit down and talk to each other, because they're good friends, because they bank at the same bank, they go to the same church, and they hang out at the same yacht club, and you're always the topic of conversation. I think I'm allowed to say pull your head out, if that's the way you're thinking. Doctors are not your friends. Don't give them gifts. Multiple doctors can be a blessing and a curse. Usually they're a curse. The context in which you have to understand that is if you're counting beans, if you're bean counting, if your analytic mind, your objective mind, your Spockian mind, you know, Spock, Star Trek, if your CPA litigious mind is simply thinking that multiple doctors are best because they disagree, and you'll decide because you're in control. You're in control of nothing. Absolutely nothing. You think you're in control. That's why you don't heal. Are you listening today? Are you sitting there? Are you on the road? Are you in your couch? Are you listening from Canada or South America or Iraq or France or Argentina or wherever? Are you sick? You're not in control. That picture there, picture number 11, is in control. That doesn't make any sense to you. It's the first time you've heard the show. Get the archives. It's the way. This whole show, this whole thing, this whole company, everything is born out of what works. This is absorb what's useful. This is the Jeet Kune Do of healing. This is Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. This is the Zen of the martial arts. This is water. It gets between the cracks. You can't stop water. It's a fist, or it seeps into things where there's no space to go. Multiple doctors are only best if you're in touch with your intuitive force. Multiple opinions will work against you if you're too analytical. If you're trying to be in control, if you think you get the final cut, you'll decide because you're the consumer, because you spend your hard-earned money. There's another one. I've already given you 20 ways, people, and we've got a half an hour left. You're delusional if you think you get the final cut. You have to give someone the right to have final cut. You have to submit to somebody that gives final cut. You can participate, but in the end, you have to defer. Those are the rules of engagement. Every week, one, two, three people flip out. They flip out. They don't know why they're so emotional. They have anxiety. I never had anxiety. Now I have anxiety. I was never depressed. Now I'm depressed. I'm depressed. What do I do for my depression? I have anxiety. I never have anxiety. I had no anxiety when I started, and now my back pain's gone, but I have anxiety. Now we're going to get to something. The top 20 ways people sabotage their healing. You sabotage your healing because you have no sense of your emotional split. Your emotional split, your attachment to pain, your passive ego, your inability to see the two yous. You know, I would like to tell him he's insane, but I can't. I'd like to tell him that he's internalizing his emotions, but I can't. He can't see it. You know, that guy over there, he thinks the whole world's about him. He thinks that everyone should just be talking about him and about his needs. He doesn't understand how selfish he is. You think that about other people. Where in yourself do you not see what you don't see? Do you not see that you're running away from the fact that you're miserable? Do you not see that the pain of whatever happened when it happened is living in you and you're just burying it? And you don't know what you're going to do. You can't get up in the morning to go to work. You can't possibly deal with it. So just keep shoveling it under the rug until you die of it. Because that's what you do. Finally, you know, the body, thankfully, the body starts to talk to you. We call that a symptom. The body starts to talk to you. If you don't hear it, it knocks harder. Then you have a disease. If it knocks even harder, then you have a terminal disease. You don't listen. Eventually, you're going to solve your problem. Maybe not the way you wanted to. Maybe you do want to do that. Maybe you're not listening to the pain simply because you want to leave the planet. You want to extinguish, exit. That's your and should be respected as your choice. How about a conscious choice? Don't walk into a doctor's office and ask for help. Oh, wait a second. You don't want pain. You don't mind dying. I got it. You don't mind dying. That's not the problem. The problem's the pain. You knew this problem was there. You knew the betrayal, the abandonment, the rape, the incest, the murder, the aggression, things you saw you shouldn't have seen, the disappointments, the feelings of failure. You knew all those things were there, but you didn't think you needed to deal with them because eventually these things would kill you, and you're ready to go. You decided to die shortly after you were born. But what you didn't plan on is pain, physical pain. Just get rid of the physical pain. Hey, you want to know something? That's your prerogative. Do drugs. Do morphine. Don't think this medicine works this way because it doesn't. No. Doctor, you know, I don't want to live, and I don't really care if I die. But if I'm going to live, I don't want to have pain. If you think that way, think again. If you think that way, do drugs. Do pharmaceutical drugs to kill your pain. But if you're engaging in what we call holistic medicine, energetic medicine, healing medicine, anything that goes under that name, alternative medicine. Sooner or later, you're going to deal with your pain, your emotional pain. To get to your physical pain, you have to deal with your emotional pain. And you know who's going to determine when? Hopefully your doctor, the cosmos, your hypothalamic pituitary pineal intelligence, not you. There's a layering here, a peeling. And people stay attached to their pain. The medicine for the pain is not to focus on the pain. It's to focus on the pleasure. The medicine for the pain is not to focus on the pain. It's to focus on the pleasure. Look at picture number six. Picture number seven. Look at square number seven. That's John Perakos, Core Energetics. Look at picture five. That's his book. Perakos was a protege of Freud. He was a psychiatrist. Picture six, don't look at that, but you can see picture six, the dynamic attachment to pain. Picture number seven, first paragraph down, second paragraph down, sums it up. The medicine for the pain, then, is to feel the pleasure. But this is difficult. Even if the pleasure is there, people cannot avail themselves to it because they don't feel they deserve it. Ah, you smile. Ah, you nod. I could go up to Santa Monica right now and do this show. They love that kind of talk up there in the Northland. Everybody claps. Oh, yes. Yes. Hooray for holistic medicine. Don't reduce the statement to rhetoric. Picture seven is not rhetoric. Well, you know it's not rhetoric. Yeah, it's rhetoric. It's rhetoric if you have not had a certain experience in your body. Feel the pleasure to get rid of the pain. Feel the pleasure to access and get rid of the pain. That is a body-centered experiment. You have to understand nutrition is a joke if you can't understand that statement. Nutrition is just a pawn. The herbs that you think are going to save you, the alternative medical therapies, nutritionally speaking, that are going to save you are pawns. They're just initiators to that statement. And that statement begins with the structural dynamics. Touch. T-O-U-C-H. Touch. Peeling muscle off bone. Stretching those tendons until you can feel your connection. Ultimately, your connection to your cranial centers. If you're not understanding that, you aren't understanding a thing. If you're not doing it and expecting cure, forget it. You sold out. You didn't know you sold out. That's what Reich was about. Picture number eight. Go to picture eight. Reich's intellectual development. Wilhelm Reich. You've heard the name before. Look the name up. Scholarship to medical school. Protege of Sigmund Freud. The first guy to say, look, we can talk about the pain that's killing you. We can talk about the pain that's imbalancing your autonomic nervous system. We can talk about the pain that ultimately produces your cancer, your autoimmune disease, your heart disease, your Parkinson's, your Alzheimer's, this, that, and the other thing. We can talk about it, and we'll just nod our heads sort of in a satisfying way. But in the end, it comes down to this. Look at picture number nine. Picture number nine. Get that one up. I even put it in quotes. Second paragraph down. As the bands of tension dissolve, the autonomic nervous system becomes able to react strongly. As the bands of tension dissolve to touch. So read this. If you can't see it, get a magnifying glass. Later on, go up, do the link. Reich number three. In fact, why doesn't everybody just do that? We've got time. Go to Reich on top. Reich, PDF, number three. Click that one on. There you go. Ah, I made a boo-boo. Reich, PDF, number two. Reich, PDF, number two, up on top. If you don't have it, just listen. As the bands of tension dissolve, the autonomic nervous system becomes able to react strongly. Streamings and feelings emerge. Many people find such active sensations frightening and uncomfortable. If the therapy continues, the patient will have what they call an orgasm reflex. An organism shivering, as a cat does, full release on the couch as the patient lets go of ego, meaning control, well-being. Look at that. Now, go to Reich number 3. Same deal. Reich. PDF number 3. Go to that. A moment in time. I mean, I don't know about you. I read this years ago. I read this 20 years ago. It stopped my clock. I was like, what? It wobbled my brain. From the 1940s onwards, a guy with a scholarship to Vienna, a protege of Freud, shifts his work from a clinical and therapeutic interest into what he felt was an increasingly biological and natural science. And of course, like Pauling, like Tesla, this results in ostracism and antagonism. Notable here is his work, The Cancer Biopathy. Cancer is a matter of biological frustration. An inability to feel the pleasure because you focus on the pain, you bean counter. You see? The cancer biopathy. Of course, anybody that studies this understands your disease. Yeah, your disease, not just cancer. Your disease is the inability to get in touch with the pleasure in your body. Bodily pleasure to the point where the meridians begin to flow, to the point where the pineal begins to light up. So you don't need to understand the disease. You don't need to identify the disease. You need to identify health. And when looking for the name of the disease obscures, overwhelms, stands in the way, then you're out of balance because you can't find pleasure in your process while you're focusing on your symptom, on your disease, on all the negatives. The quintessential negative thinking bean counter. You buy yourself a failure. But of course, all this isn't good enough. You see, their pain was there yesterday. Today it's gone, and today you understand. But then the pain comes back, and you don't understand, and then you do understand, and then you don't understand. And for a lot of you, here's the problem. The problem is, when you do understand, the reason the next day you don't understand is because when you do understand and your energy liberates, you have no place to put it. You have to organize a healing in such a way that it understands how you will be redeemed. Because you have suffered. Because you're 50 or 60 or 20 and you've suffered. Maybe you've suffered horridly. Maybe you haven't. Maybe you haven't and you think you have. Maybe you have and you think you haven't. Whatever you think, the point is this. You're not fooling anybody underneath your ego. The core of you knows what the reality is. And no matter what, as you pass first base, after you decide not to go back to GNC, after you decide not to do that herb for that symptom, after you've seen every MD, after you've seen every holistic practitioner, after you've seen everybody, sooner or later, if you decide to listen to the inner voice, if you know what that means, and if you don't, you're still a bean counter. But by the time you get on that bandwagon, you're going to start to understand that if you don't have a place to put that energy, if you don't have a place that redeems you, a thought, a goal, a dream. If you don't have a place and a way to say, look, I've been screwed over every day of my life for 60 years. I don't want to be screwed over anymore. I don't want this disease anymore. I don't want the symptom anymore. If you don't have a place to put your better day, you're going to go right back where you started because you haven't redeemed your suffering. If you don't understand that healing is a blessing and the virtue to suffering, and you can't understand it if you have no place to put it. So really, this is what you do. Don't fail this experiment. Do this on a sheet of paper. Write down a plan. And don't sabotage yourself by picking the big plan, a little plan. You want to save $10,000 this year. You want to buy a house. You want a new relationship. The next person that comes into your life, you want them to be from the best part of you, not the worst part of you. Whatever it is, something tangible, something reasonable, something you can do. Not, oh, my plan is I really want to see world peace. Not that idiotic sabotage. write down something reasonable on a sheet of paper and heal towards it. Just a simple little exercise in reality. Because then you're going to have a place to put your healing as you liberate. That liberation through the intention of your soul can start to show you a return. And even if it's a little return, even if it's only $100, even if it's $1,000, if it's $1,000,000, then you can join the other club. But as you liberate, you manifest. You have to get that one straight. As you liberate, you manifest. You really do. Now go back to that picture, picture 11, and take a look at that. That is why that is the God of prosperity. Oh my God, did I say that? That is the symbol of prosperity. It is a symbol. It's not about a God. It is not about the eye of Ra or Horus. It's the way people are trying to tell you when the world was much cleaner. They're trying to tell you it's a signal that every culture's given us, from the halo to the eye of Horus, that there's something within that tells you if you really go inside and focus with complete faith, you'll see flickers of light. And that is how you heal. Spread this show around. Spread it around. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici, 714-850-1007, 714-850-1007, if you feel like your head's not on straight and you're serious. Ta-ta.
Been listening to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Invite your family and friends to the show and learn about Dr. Medici through his website, straighttalk.cc. He'll give you the tools you need to save your health and prevent unnecessary surgeries and harmful drugs. He's dedicated to your ultimate healing. Join Dr. Medici next week at 10 a.m. for more Straight Talk on Health. This show and the information therein has not been evaluated by the FDA, and recommended products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The information provided on this site is for informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for advice from your physician or other healthcare professional.